I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Curzon Cinemas podcast, where we'll be discussing Omar Fast's London set thriller drama psychological nightmare Remainder. I'm Sam Howlett and I'm joined by Helen Seymour.
Hello.
And Jenna Hobbs.
Hiya.
So the film is based on the acclaimed novel. It's kind of a cult novel, a sort of an underground hit by Tom McCarthy. And the film stars Tom Sturridge, who you may know from Far From the Madding Crowd.
Yeah, that's the most recent one, isn't it?
I can't remember his character's name in that, but
he's the dastardly man.
Yeah, with the tash.
Yeah.
That's what I remember it as. So he's an unnamed protagonist here who, after suffering amnesia from a head injury, uses his compensation money to obsessively attempt to recreate moments from his past. I think that's all we should say about the plot for now.
I agree.
Because it's incredibly sort of labyrinthine, twisty-turny. As I said at the beginning, sort of psychological thriller that sort of, it keeps you guessing until the end. It's one of those films. So my first question to you both is, what other films can you think of to compare this to in terms of the way it's all about a character's state of mind? Helen.
Trance.
Danny Boyle's Trance, yeah.
Eternal Sunshine of Spotless Mind.
Yeah.
The list is over.
Okay. I think I agree with you both of those, definitely.
There must be more.
There's so many, yeah.
Upstream Colour.
Yeah, definitely. I think, yeah, I mean, I definitely get shades of... I think Trance, like, is probably the main one, perhaps, because that combines kind of the thriller crime elements with exploring a character's mental state.
Yes, and sort of the idea of him trying to work out what had happened.
Yeah, yeah, that's here as well.
Kind of that narrative.
The problem of the past, trying to recreate the past.
And, yeah.
And also the thing of... You don't really know what's going on until the very end. It's the same in Trance, where
still
it's
don't know
all
what's going on, but yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
I definitely don't know what's going on.
Helen, Jenna.
It's okay.
You're a blonde one, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. Yeah. They don't know that. Don't tell them about me. It reminded me recently, actually, have you seen London's Spy?
Yeah.
And you guys, the TV show with Ben Whishaw, had that kind of vibe of like, I don't know, like a mystery, something's gone wrong and they're trying to uncover it and you don't know who
to
trust. I think that's the main thing, is that I just felt like I didn't know who to trust in this film the whole way through.
Yeah, even the main character himself.
Yeah.
He's a very, I mean, for me, Tom Sturridge will, live on as the dastardly guy from Far From the Madding Crowd.
Uh-huh.
And as soon as I saw him in this, I was like, ooh, don't trust him.
Yeah.
He's a bit shifty. So, yeah.
Also, can we talk about the many looks of Tom Sturridge in this film?
I mean,
he goes from, like, very suave to, like, bald to, like, full caveman. I feel like this was, like, an excuse for him to try out
some range.
Things. Yeah.
Like his CV.
Yeah, I
his
think he should push the beard further.
It's not like a trendy hipster beard, though, is it? It's
full.
No. Someone calls him a caveman, which I think, or like a homeless person's beard. Or,
yeah.
It's the beard of someone who's been in a coma. But he's not been looked after by anyone in the coma.
It's unkept.
Yeah, which I think is a subtle way to show you how lonely he is, because quite often, I don't know how true this is, but in films and TV shows, when someone's in a coma, there's someone there that would cut their hair and shave them and clean them. And the fact that no one's done that for him just shows how alone he is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's very alone throughout the whole film, actually.
Yeah.
He doesn't connect with anyone.
And the only person who seems to he absolutely trusts, he's paying millions of pounds.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that in a second. So yeah, my choice, I think, for a sort of film that it really explores characters' mental states would probably be Memento, which once again is about a character who doesn't know anything about his past and spends the film trying to figure out what has happened in his past. Mm. And yeah, the same with Trance and Eternal Sunshine as well. I mean, Eternal Sunshine is by no means a thriller, but mm-hmm. it is the idea of everything's out of order, the scenes are all jumbled up, and you have to work out, you're with the lead character and you're trying to work out what's happened at the same rate there. You don't know anything mm-hmm. they don't know.
Yeah, and it's about how memory haunts you as well in Eternal Sunshine, and I think he's especially haunted by his memories. Yeah.
And this idea of a company somehow being sinister company, to assist with your memories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's, I think another key film, we're going to talk about the actual film in a bit rather than other films, but there's a film by Charlie Kaufman called Synecdoche, New York, in which a character, he writes a play about his life, and he goes to really elaborate lengths to recreate the sets, his apartments and his world, like this guy does in the film, and he hires actors to play himself, and then there's some confusion, there's sort of, they blend, like the actors playing the real life characters, they sort of blend, and there's actors playing the actors, and it's very deep, very meta, and I really got that here. Like, I think for me the film, I didn't not struggle, but I think the first half hour of this film, Remainder, was a bit trudging. I think it took a while for me to really get into it, and I really got into it when he started to recreate his past, literally by having, he finds his old apartment building, he gets actors to play the people that used to live there, just so he can try and jog his memory, and that's a really interesting idea, I thought, that as we've mentioned, it has been explored before, but I think this is in a film which has got such a low budget as this, it was really well handled, I thought.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I was completely won over by when they started in the house.
Yeah.
And it looked like an installation watching it.
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
It was gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Like the way it was all done, I was just so happy to have that in front of my eyes.
Mm.
Yeah. Like that's the image.
He has a visual art background,
and
you can really tell.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, they've done this so well, and oh, this is so cool. More than just thinking, oh, that's a cool idea. That someone, I'm like, wow, watching this. I was really into it.
And it was so sinister. The whole idea of that, like
very
immersing
creepy.
Yourself in like a fake reality of your own, creepy. Yeah.
And
the cats as well.
Cats on leads.
So maybe let's give this more context. People haven't seen the film yet.
Yeah, sorry.
Dropping things in.
That's kind of like the film, though. It drops you in the middle of nowhere.
And
people
might be listening to this and think, "Oh, I kind of want to know what the cats are."
And then the cats. Yeah.
Bam.
So we first see Tom Sturridge's character, who's never given a name, which I think is very important. He's a complete mystery. He's walking around London with a suitcase, and then things fall from the sky and hit him on the head. Mm-hmm. And then the next thing you know, he's in hospital.
Like unidentified stuff as well, isn't it? Like kind of,
you never really find out what it is. I think he describes it as just falling like technology parts or something.
That is what he says. You never know.
Yeah, and then we're told that he receives like £8 million compensation, or £8.5 million. And because he's been in a coma for so long, he has no idea about his past, and he uses the money and goes to extreme lengths. He hires a executive assistant, I think is his job title, this guy called Nas, who says to him, "I'm really expensive, but I'll do anything for you." And there's a great moment where he, a large bulk of the film is when they recreate his old apartment building, which he has flashes of and just needs to piece all together. I loved to the little bits, like he remembers looking out onto the roof and seeing cats, and they have to get the right kind of cat, and they hire a cat wrangler who's looking after the cats and making sure the cats do what they're supposed to do, and there's an old woman who's supposed to cook liver all day, and a guy that's supposed to play piano all day, and then there's people who he can't really remember what they look like, but he knew they were there, and they're just given blank faces.
They're the creepiest.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. Imagine being an actor and being hired as that's your job, to just wear a stocking over your face and stand in an apartment all day.
But visually, that really set it apart for me. I was like, oh, this is such a cool concept that's how they're showing the fact that there's blank there's blank bits in his head.
Yes, yeah, really clever.
Yeah, so rather than just have someone else there, just a normal face, I think he thinks that this will just confuse him even more because they were never there.
Right, yeah.
So he's so, yeah, because he's got so much money to throw around, he goes into so much detail.
And he has, like, key figures that he knows are important somehow but doesn't know why. And there's that old lady who's
cooking liver.
Yeah. Creepy.
Yeah,
and there's also great moments where he's got headphones in and he's like, pause.
Yeah.
And they have to all stop while he thinks about it, make sure everything's okay.
He's just like a director in his own life, isn't he?
Would you say he goes crazy? I mean, he gets his...
I don't know.
He does go kind of a bit maniacal with it, I think. Like, when he's making them... There's a scene where the executive assistant says, oh, they've been paused for over an hour now.
Yeah, just standing still.
They've just been standing still.
It feels like, for me, the closer he gets to recreating, like, a good version of reality, or, like, a very similar version of reality, the more he loses grip on his actual reality and can't kind of control what's going on there. And,
Yeah, he's a man that's lost grip, but I think he's lost grip right from the very beginning.
Yeah.
So I don't think this is a story about someone who goes...
Okay.
I don't even think it's about going crazy. I don't really know what that means.
Obsession is just about obsession with the past.
Yeah.
Paranoia.
Okay. So the film is all pretty... I think nearly every scene, nearly every shot is taken up by Tom Sturridge.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got quite a hard work as an actor to carry the film. I mean, it's not an ensemble piece at all. It's a film about one man, and the camera really makes you feel that. Like, he's in every part. I mean, how did you feel he dealt with that, and how was it following this protagonist around his journey?
I liked Tom Sturridge in this film. He doesn't give a lot away, and I think he's got... It's quite a hard role because he's kind of playing this brooding character who doesn't have a grip on reality, and he's trying to show you the story. So it's not easy to necessarily follow or empathise with him.
Yeah.
But I did like... I thought he did a great job. What about you guys?
I thought he did really well.
Absolutely.
And I didn't watch it thinking, oh, he's acting, you know, which...
You were there with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it would be easy to... for the performance to look like that when it's something like, you're a man who's losing grip on reality.
Yeah. I think for me it was tough to get past the first sort of 20 minutes because I didn't know who I was watching. He's so mysterious and gives so little away.
See, I loved that.
I did love it, but I was also like, I mean, I think that works perfectly for when you watch the rest of the film as well, but for those, the first...
Yeah, when he's kind of back at home and he's trying to get on with life,
and
it's hard
just
to connect.
He's one of these characters that I mean, obviously he's suffered a trauma and everything, but you did want to say, oh, come on, just do something. Like, he's sort of very passive, and he just sort of was in the... Well, there's a bit where he's in the phone booth, and I did want to say to him, come on, just pull it together and just keep going, but because he is sort of wandering around. But no, it does work for the rest of the film, and it contextualises the rest of the film as well.
Yeah, because he's lost, is the point.
Yeah, and it's hard to watch someone who's lost, I think.
Yeah.
Mm.
But he does a pretty great job of being someone... Yeah, throughout the film, he is someone who is a question mark. And his morals and his ethics, they're very shady.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you're happy to follow someone like that.
Yeah, there are a couple of points where it seemed a little bit contrived.
Okay.
Were the acting or the plot?
Like, the way that the scene played, it seemed maybe like some of the supporting characters... maybe didn't have a really good idea about where their character came from.
Mm.
And that maybe affected their performance a little bit, just in places.
Yeah, I agree with you, because I think, because there's not a lot of context, so how much did the actors playing have to go off of? Maybe they had a lot, but we're not shown very much of it, so it's hard to kind of understand where they're coming from, I think, at points.
Yeah.
But then it's so much about plot rather than about
character,
I suppose.
Absolutely. I think it's just in a few places it felt like maybe the characters were getting a little bit lost.
Mm.
I'm really talking about minutes.
Yes, yeah. I mean, honestly, I think this is all in the first 20 minutes, half hour.
Yeah.
Where it takes a while to find its feet.
And
but
once it does,
I was really there. And I think the less you know about this film, the better.
Yeah.
I went in this knowing absolutely nothing. All
Me
I know
too.
Is that Tom Sturridge was in it and it was a psychological thriller.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I really think the less is more in this case. So the film's all about the idea that fate is inescapable. I think that's one of the main points of the film.
Yeah.
Do you agree? You can't escape fate, or
it's hard. I can see that as a reading.
Yeah.
Don't Maybe repetition is inescapable.
Repetition is inescapable. Yeah.
Or life itself.
The film's about life. Get out of here.
I don't know. I don't know if it's about fate.
Okay.
But that would, that's the discussion. I think
one of the other great things about the film is that it's open to infinite readings.
Mm.
Not just in terms of its themes, but in terms of what actually happens. It's very ambiguous, and we will talk about that a lot in the spoiler section.
Yeah. Lots of theories to discuss.
Definitely.
We should say, though, this is... because we say it's psychological thriller, but if you're going into this thinking you want the Night Manager, this is not the Night Manager. Sure. Like, you're not going to get a resolution that feels...
No.
Satisfying. Mm-hmm. Well, I was satisfied by the end, but it's not like,
I think this film poses questions. It doesn't give you answers.
Yeah.
You think? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well put.
Yeah. Yeah, we said at the beginning it's the kind of film that all builds up to an ending that, and it's all revealed in the end. Like, the way Trance is, I'm not going to spoil Trance, but Trance is revealed in its final scene.
Yeah.
Like the whole film, and so is things like Memento. This, in a way it is, but it isn't clear. It's not telling you, it's just showing you something that's happened, and then you have to think, what do you think of that? Which is the best way to do it, I think. And I think films do that enough.
Mm-hmm.
And the journey along the way is astounding.
Yeah. Yes.
Absolutely.
I loved it.
Me too.
A couple of things I picked out. I don't know if this is me reading too much into it.
I'll tell you if you
are. Okay, thank you. So the way the film shows you London, I thought was really quite incredible. So I recently saw The Conjuring 2. Which is set in London. And I enjoyed, not to badmouth The Conjuring 2, I enjoyed it. It was a very fun horror film. Really, it's like a ghost train, very fun. But they introduced London with like big red buses, and they're playing London Calling.
Yeah,
and they just show
all
these traditional London things. It's like,
it's classic, isn't it?
It's like, fine, we're London. But here it's very kind of low key London, which was really nice to see. And there's also almost a kind of gentrification subtext to this, because there's what they're just
here
there's
we a, go
just because there's a scene. So when he rents out this entire apartment for himself, and they mention that we're just getting rid of the last stragglers now, so they've had to force everyone out of this home, and the family they focus on are a black family. I don't know if that's just coincidence, but to me that was a comment about modern London.
Yeah.
That rich white people are kicking everyone out to do what they want with places.
Yeah, I think...
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
That this film kind of does that a lot. It shows you the power of money. I mean, he comes into this money, and then bam, he gets absolutely everything he wants. And I think obviously we can definitely look into that with the London housing crisis and all that's going on there.
I mean, I don't know how relevant that is to the overall theme of just things like we're talking about, like you can't like escape the past and that thing, but it is something else that I think is there, and to show that in a visual way I think is relevant, because Omar Fass is a visual artist, so
this film is so visual as well. Like, I mean, the opening sequence is following Tom Sturridge's character all through the hospital, and it basically focuses on his feet the whole way through in the hospital bed. It's really gorgeous.
Absolutely. I think as well, so the film completely follows Tom Sturridge and puts you in his mind, and it does that, I think, combining like sound and visuals. So the soundtrack is really horrible, but on purpose, like sort of loud, high-pitched noises just to completely disorientate you, which I think his character is all the way through, and the sort of overlapping of dialogue, and you're seeing flashes of images that don't make sense to you, and that's what he's going through as well.
Yeah.
So that's really well done.
Did you think it was maybe not the most original way to show a broken mind, to do broken kind of imagery and things?
I didn't have a problem with it at all.
No, I didn't either.
I think it did a job. I mean, films have done that before, I think, but I think it's an effective way. There's a reason films do it over again. I think it, from the moment those sound and visual cues happen, you know this is a fractured, fragmented mind you're watching, and I think that's all you need. But I don't know if you have an alternate view.
Well, I mean, I wasn't bored watching it. I wasn't thinking, oh, here we go again. I just suppose it would be nice to see it in another way, because I'm sure there's another way to show a fractured mind than fractured imagery. That's not really a criticism of this film in particular, though, because like we said, I think the imagery is amazing.
Mm. Yeah.
But just in general, you know, it'd be good to see that in another way.
Yeah.
I just found it really disorientating the way that happened, but I think that's also really integral to it. We've said it quite a few times that this film's really disorientating and we don't really know what happened. And I think it was quite effective in doing that.
Yeah, I also think as well that potentially of every single film we've talked about on this podcast so far, this has had the smallest budget.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know that for sure, but it seems like this seems very low budget.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it essentially has 3 or 4 main characters, and even then it's pretty much just one. So I think it was very constrained in its production.
First
feature-length film, yeah.
Yeah, so it's up there with the ones that I'm now most excited to see about what he's going to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It's really up there for me.
Right, so should we get to spoiler territory?
Yes,
so
let's.
Before we do, though, I really think a lot of people will enjoy this film. I think it could become a cult classic in its own right, in the style of Trance and Memento and Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, where if you want to just go out and see a great thriller, I think this will do the job very well. Really effective debut film. And it's the kind of film you should be paying to see as well.
Yeah.
Because it's so small and it will have a limited release. But I think you should support this kind of film.
Yeah, and it's definitely the kind of film that it's worth taking a risk on, you know, not knowing anything about going in and just experiencing it, because it's so immersive
and
enthralling the whole way through.
90 minutes as well.
Great length.
Yeah.
Perfect
length for this kind of thriller.
Mm-hmm.
Great. So if you haven't seen the film, go away and see it and then come back, because it's the kind of film that you'll want to hear other people's views on, I think.
Definitely.
Yeah, but don't spoil it for yourself.
Absolutely, no.
Go and see it.
So my first expression after the film finished was, what? it goes in a direction that I didn't think it would go after seeing the first hour, because then I think that there's a bank robbery subplot enters it, which at first I was a bit iffy on, because I feel like bank robberies are used as a technique too often in films show violence and crime. I think, to be honest, how often do bank robberies actually happen anymore?
Uh-huh.
That was my problem at first.
Yeah, it's all kind of online
and
these days.
And that's it's like a train robbery happening.
Yeah.
There's no money on these trains. And there's the similar problem I had with Victoria, if you remember what I was saying like that. It was just like, does this happen? Like, I'm not going to say I know everything about the crime output, but I just think, does crime work in this way? But so this crime bank robbery motif occurs, but it took it in a very interesting direction that I ended up really liking, where so at first I feel like, I'm rambling here.
No, you're not. I just know what you're trying to do, and you're trying to explain that whole end bit.
It's really hard. Because at first you have the boy that he sort of has asked to...
Christopher.
And he is shot and killed and framed for this bank robbery.
Yeah.
But he, before then, has no idea that it's happened.
Yeah.
But once it does, it seems like he then tries trying to clear Christopher's name and trying to restage the bank robbery to see how it actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
And my thought then is that he became so obsessed with recreating the bank robbery that he felt like the only way to properly recreate it was actually to do it in the bank itself, which he then does, and that leads into the opening of the film where he's running away with the suitcase full of money and then he's then struck on the head.
Yeah.
So...
Well done.
Thank you.
So that's so it forms a loop, basically.
Basically, a loop happens. The beginning of the film becomes the end.
Because he's stuck in a loop.
You think it's a loop. Do you think it's
stuck?
But is it a loop where it's a coincidence that once again he's had this bank robbery? Once again,
I think it's about how we end up just making the same decisions over and over again. However hard we try, we keep making the same mistakes.
Okay.
And how it's hard to not do that.
Yeah. I definitely absolutely agree with you.
And also the whole idea about like trying to correct the past. Mm-hmm. You can't...
Yeah, you can't change the past. That's already happened. Past. Okay. In the world of the film, yes. Do you think that it's just coincidence that this keeps happening again, or is it literally a time loop?
I don't know.
That like is like Groundhog Day, where these sequence of events just keep recurring for him, or is it literally there's a linear timeline and the same thing happens to him?
Does he get hit the last time?
You don't see it.
So,
but you do see stuff falling in the exact same way as the ending.
I assume he does.
Okay.
And he does that. It's sort of poetic, the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really liked that end bit where he's kind of just waiting for it to happen.
Yeah. Mm. Which makes me think he knows it's happened before.
Yeah, so he definitely knows it's going to happen. Yeah.
Do you think he is stuck in a loop then?
I guess so. It is very... It's so... This is what's great about the film, though.
Yeah.
This is brilliant.
Your head is... My brain is in knots at the moment, because I'm thinking, no, because he did that, and then he did that, but then he did that.
Yeah, so it couldn't work if he did that. Yeah.
I'm just trying to think that... So that's one way of looking at it, that it's a loop.
Yeah.
Whether it's a loop in a linear timeline, or it's a time loop.
Yeah.
So that,
yeah.
There's another way I've thought about it, where the film is actually completely out of chronological order.
Ooh.
That he never committed... So there is a bank robbery did happen.
Yeah.
Which he had nothing to do with.
Mm-hmm.
But because he was so obsessed with recreating the past,
mm-hmm.
that in recreating this bank robbery to clear Christopher's name,
mm-hmm.
he became so obsessed with it that he accidentally became part of it. And the scene we see at the beginning only happens at the end.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think that.
But then we do see him after a coma.
Yeah.
Oh, so
I don't think it is that.
It's really hard.
But that
unless we see him. Okay.
Someone had an idea.
Unless we see the bit after the coma and then it stops, right?
Yeah.
And then when he has his hair all done, we pick up in the future again. Do you see what I mean?
Okay.
So the film is like, it comes in two halves to the middle.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or is the whole thing a construction by Nars?
Oh, because I was thinking about Nars. What is in it for him?
Nars is shifty as.
He is shifty. Also, how is it so easy for him to like make all these things happen?
He does inexplicably get away with a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But does Nars? Is it a possibility that Nars has only ever worked with him?
Or is Nars working with someone else?
Well, here's the thing, that there is this other plot where his friends. So it seemed to me that the bank that his money's put in.
Yeah.
The what's the girl's name?
Cass.
So the bank his money's put in, Cass works there.
Yeah.
And her and his lawyer friend, and they're an ex-couple or whatever,
yeah,
are scamming him and stealing the $8 million.
Steal his money.
That's essentially what I got from it.
Yes.
Which I think is quite clear.
Mm-hmm.
Is that clear? Do you think that's happened?
Yeah.
But then it's also confusing because if this bank robbery, if there already has been a bank robbery in this place, why would he put his money in there? So he's not stealing money, he's just getting his own money back.
Oh, yeah.
So the money he has in the briefcase at the beginning, if it is a time loop, is his own money.
Yeah.
So that puts a question
because
mark on everything.
Because the lawyer advised him to put it in that bank.
So maybe
because
it's
a family-run business.
He's like, oh yeah, you have to. We should put it in here. It's a good Holborn bank. It's a family-run business.
Which again is about looping.
Yeah, yeah, that's another thing in it as well. Actually, yeah.
But oh, it's very confusing, yeah. Guys.
Going,
I am
going for eight generations.
Yeah.
That's...
I also have questions about the policeman / enforcers.
Are they slightly confuse me.
Because for a while they are. They're criminals that are just stealing his money, and then suddenly they're policemen. I don't know if they're supposed to be like corrupt policemen who are trying to steal the money. So for all they're trying to steal the money, but then at the end they're the policemen that are in the bank who are investigating the robbery.
Yeah, that bit is a bit that confused.
But then they also take away his gun and the gloves he's wearing to like get
cover
rid
it
of
up.
It.
They
try
it
and cover it up.
End,
yeah.
So I wasn't sure what they were doing. Within the film.
Okay. I think maybe we're not supposed to either.
Because they also torture.
Yeah, they put the, like, the... Well, there's a bit where they steal the paperclip. They say, yeah, you can have this paperclip. Mm. And my thought was, is that the paperclip that they tortured Tom Sturridge's character on, like, but they shove it down his fingernails, don't they?
So maybe you are right. Maybe it is all in a different order.
Mm. Ooh.
Requires multiple viewings, I think.
I need to watch this again, yeah, like, already.
Definitely, I thought that was a paperclip bit.
Yeah.
Where I was that might be before.
There's also so many moments where he says, oh, we've had this conversation before,
yeah,
haven't,
yeah,
we? Which was like, oh, it may be... Maybe you're right, that it is a time loop that only he knows about.
Yeah.
Mm. It's very confusing.
But that actually inside Llewellyn Davis as well.
Yeah.
I just thought that. Yes.
And I've also got a film called... It's called Time Crimes.
Mm. And sounds great.
It is really good. It's not a great title, but it is a really good film it's a time loop and one character actually becomes another character.
Mm.
Through the time loop, through knowing what to do next, in that respect. There's also a film called Triangle with Melissa George, which is, again, time keeps resetting itself and repeating itself and going in circles, and then there's multiple versions of one person in the same thing, and she becomes different ones of these characters. So I think it fits so well with them that it is... Could this be a time travel film?
No.
Okay.
Because I'm really glad it doesn't. There isn't a scene where he goes.
This is time travel.
Gosh. Yeah. I understand now. Like, I'm so glad it doesn't do that. It leaves it open.
Okay.
And I think there's more going on. I think it's more about the mistakes that we make,
mm-hmm,
rather than it's trying about humans. It's not about an outside force for me.
Okay.
And it's talking about the human nature.
Yeah.
In a way that uses some of that language and imagery from the sci-fi world, but is not a sci-fi film.
I think I agree with you there. I think this is a film that's themes are more important than its narrative, and that's why it doesn't tell you this happens and this happens and this happens because of that, because it wants to get its message across that it's about the past and your relationship with your past.
Mm-hmm. And I love those themes. I'm so into that. Like,
me too.
Like the kind of trying to fix your mistakes or the inability to move on and how the past can haunt you and all that kind of stuff. I think that's so interesting.
It's such a good thing.
Because
after watching it, I didn't fully know what had happened.
No.
But my initial thought was like, oh, because we all do that.
Like, we play the same mistakes over and over.
The same things happen over again. Yeah, absolutely. Final question then, maybe. Why is it called Remainder? Because I had no idea to this.
Such
to this
moment.
I left it. I thought, I really enjoyed that. That was really good. And I was like talking to someone else, trying to work out, oh, what did this mean? Why did this happen? And I was like, why was it called Remainder?
I wonder if it's because Remainder is what's left over, isn't it? What's not. And obviously, he's got what's left over of his life to
after
rebuild.
After everything's happened, he's remained.
He is the Remainder.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Anyone else?
I don't know, I think that's good. I mean, it is the idea of things lasting.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Something lasting longer than it should. Perhaps. Yeah. Great. Well, I hope you enjoyed that. Just us rambling, shouting, screaming at each other. It must be this!
It's like the good old days. Back on episode one.
I think that's the thing, though. There's no way to talk about this film that isn't just coming up with theories and chatting.
Three idiots going, oh, it could be that. We're going to be putting like post-it notes on the wall with like lines of this timeline.
Yeah, we're going to go crazy over this film.
But get involved, guys. Like, comment on the thing.
Yeah,
the
let us know.
Let us know your theories, please.
Because I want to read them.
Yeah.
I hope someone's got a really crazy one that we didn't think of.
I'm a sucker for those.
Yeah.
Whenever I read them, I'm like...
Maybe. The whole film's been in his head. It's obviously the lawyer at the beginning is really important. You need to watch it again and focus on the lawyer.
I'm going to watch it again as soon as I leave.
Excellent. Yeah. I think... Well,
I am. I'm desperate.
It is a repeat viewing film.
Yeah.
Definitely. Great. So next week we'll be discussing Notes on Blindness.
Absolutely cracking film.
And you interviewed...
Peter Middleton and James Binney.
Excellent. And that's available, be in cinemas and on Curzon Home Cinema as of July 1st. Quick note for Curzon Home Cinema. There's a lot of films on there at the moment, including films we've discussed on the podcast. So Trumbo, Tale of Tales, Goodnight Mummy.
Lucas!
Still not got over that one.
There is a character called Lucas in something else, and I was like, oh, God.
Ooh, not another Lucas.
Yeah. I think it was in Tale of Tales.
Yeah, there was.
Yeah.
Elias in Tale of Tales.
That's it.
Fire at Sea, Spotlight, and Solaris. These are all films we've discussed on the show. Mm. So if you've seen them and enjoyed them and want to see more, please go to Cousin Home Cinema now. So that's it for this week. Thank you very much for listening. So that's goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me. Goodbye. Great.
See you next week.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Shopify helps you sell at every stage of your business. Like that, let's put it online and see what happens stage.
And the site is live.
That we opened a store and need a fast checkout stage.
Thanks, you're all set.
That count it up and ship it around the globe stage.
This one's going to Thailand.
And that, wait, did we just hit a million orders stage? Whatever your stage, businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/listen.